Oh, that's right. Good afternoon, everybody. Hey, I'm Ann Eller, and yes, we are right here at Sharp Facets WCRS Studios. And who is sitting across from me today? None other than Charlie Barineau, City Manager for Greenwood. And how you doing today, Charlie?
Good afternoon, Ann. It's great to see you again.
It's great to be sitting down and having this opportunity to talk. You know, things seem to happen all the time. Gosh, I think the last time I talked to you, it was before, actually a good time before the Festival of Discovery.
That's right.
And since that time, Festival of Discovery has come and gone, but good numbers came in on the Festival of Discovery. What can you let us know?
You know, the crowds were up. We had record numbers across the board. Well over $2 million, I believe, again, was the economic impact. So
how do you figure economic impact?
It's a educated guess. Anna.
Okay.
Is that a good word?
Okay.
But we take a calculation of what we think the number of people came and multiply that by how much we think a group of people will spend based on how many, a meal, a tank of gas,
right,
a hotel room, things like that. And so it's a guess, but it's an educated guess. And we do contact all of our business owners. And I would tell you that technology is getting better. We're getting great information through credit card swipes from our restaurants. They can tell us the percentage of new customers that would come through their venue compared to another weekend. And so, for example, at the Mill House, we looked at those credit card swipe numbers, and they were extremely up. I think 60% of their credit card swipes were new customers that weekend, which is tremendous for us.
Now, do you think that affects mainly uptown, or does like the bypass the restaurants out?
No, I think everybody plays a role now. You know, to what extent, can't tell you that. But for example, I know that large groups of our cook teams go to Ruby Tuesday's, Outback. It's not Fin and Filet anymore, but Jay Peters. I know,
right.
I had a group that was going there.
Well, that
there.
And then you've got the musicians, too.
Yep, you got the musicians, and they've got to come up with meals. So, there's a lot going on.
So, well, that's good to hear. So, you think $2 million?
Yeah.
And what does that do for our community?
Well, there's a trickle down there. You know, everybody's getting a
trickle
little
trickle down. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's getting a piece of that, from the bread truck salesman to the gasoline folks to the obviously Carolina Pride sells a lot of meat that weekend, a lot of their products. So there's all different components that do that, and then obviously each one of those entities pays taxes, and those taxes provide the services that we all depend on a daily basis. So we would like to say that it works, but I would tell you, I think even better, it's just a positive vibe. We get more positive energy from that event probably than anything else. People that typically don't come here and they'll share a photo from Greenwood on their Facebook page or their Twitter or Instagram feed.
Sure.
And then all their friends see that. And we get a lot of feedback from that.
So what's the ultimate goal of the Festival of Discovery in that case? What are we really looking for?
Well, sure. The Festival of Discovery is...
And Blues Cruise.
Yeah, the Greenwood Blues Cruise, good point, is owned, developed by the Uptown Greenwood Development Corporation. So the Uptown, through their tax dollars, pays for a large majority of the festival. So the goal and mission of the festival is to promote the Uptown.
Mm-hmm.
But it has become much larger than that, and really creates a regional hub for Greenwood.
Do you think you can see where people come back to Greenwood based on, is there any way to tell that people that have been here for the festival look at Greenwood and go, you know, we got to come back here?
We are hearing more of that. And again, as just like the credit card swipe, as technology begins to evolve, the app that we have, Facebook, we're seeing more and more of that repeat and beginning to be able to track that. So that's getting, better. We can do that better. But walking around, I had different people walk up to me from those same communities. I had, a couple from Myrtle's Inlet, Myrtle Beach. And you're thinking, we go to see you. And they're like, we were getting away from there to see you.
Right.
So it's realizing that we can develop a destination that will hold somebody for 2 to 3 days is exciting.
It is. And you know, I think one of the other things is that always impresses me, and, you know, Friday night I was uptown doing our blues crawl like we do every year, is how many people were out enjoying the barbecue and the closed-off uptown area. I mean, just phenomenal. And as I sat there eating barbecue, I saw the sanitation guys emptying trash cans and moving trash and keeping everything looking good.
Yeah, we have other people that will come. Actually, it was amazing this year. We had a group from Cincinnati, Ohio, that came to study our event just to see how they could replicate it in Cincinnati.
Well, that's when you know you're doing good.
Yeah, yeah. We've had communities. Knoxville's been to visit us. But we have a special group of employees. Our employees. You know, I don't know if it's the Greenwood small hometown and everybody, I don't know, but our employees and our partnership with the CPW and others is really special.
It is. And you know, I'll say this, and because you're sitting here today, I'll say this again. You know, the next day I was in uptown Greenwood, I took a picture Sunday morning and it was clean. Yeah. And I posted, what do you notice about this? It's clean. There's nothing,
You know, and it gets harder and harder every year. I don't want to, every year we get done and we're like, how are we going to motivate our employees to do it again this year? But it's an all hands on deck approach. That Sunday morning, I was up there at 6:30, 7 a.m., just like the rest of them. I had my bucket of bleach and we were cleaning away. So from the top down, we know it's all hands on that weekend.
But another good thing, though, that you've done, though, Charlie, is you've been able to plan for this expansion, like having all the electricity already hubbed in there and the water for the barbecuers, yep. And on top of that, the water that was there for the toperaries,
sure.
And everything.
Yeah, and every year we after we have any event, whether it's the Festival of Flowers or whatever, we look for little ways to improve. We mentioned the topiaries, the festival flowers, and you've had Ann in here and our horticulturalist Ann. Little thing that we're improving this year, when the net goes up on the greenhouse, well, we didn't have a cover over that net, so all these bad bugs were getting in and we bought a cover for that. So now, and so every year, just like that, we're looking for little things that make our event even better. All of our events for the next year. So.
Absolutely. Well, I think the city does a great job, and it certainly is something that we all can be proud of as far as what is happening there. But there's so many good things. We're going to be talking about the new streetscape that's going to be coming. The Inn on the Square is getting close to opening. The textile building has activity. But right now, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Hey, if you've got a question for Charlie, go ahead, call him, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. Hey, we are right back here this afternoon. I'm with Charlie Barano, City Manager of Greenwood, South Carolina. And you know, Charlie, you and I were just talking about that it's been, I think you said, 6 years since the Inn on the Square was open. They're planning on at least getting their first floor open, I understand, by the 1st of October.
Yep. Yeah, 6-7 years since the Inn on the Square has been open for the Festival Discovery. So Gary will hopefully be able to add some blues into the inn. The Fox and Hound will be jumping and jiving, I guess, come July 7th, 8th, 9th,
right.
2016. So.
That's going to be, that'll be something else. You know, I think everybody that has been here for a good while remembers the Inn on the Square and Gary and Wanda Johnson rocking out there.
Yeah, when we've, over the last few weeks, as we've posted that the Inn on the Square is coming back, it's been interesting to see the photos that have been posted. People's parents, that we had our wedding reception there, and so they'll post pictures, and we've got a lot of pictures of different things that have been held at the Starlight Room and various things at the end. So it's exciting to have that venue back.
Sure. So this is what you have to look forward to. Now, October 1st is a Thursday, and I understand the Swinging Medallions are going to be playing, and they're going to be playing in the old place right across from the Inn on the Square.
Yeah, so the Inn on the Square approached us, and they said, you know, we're targeting an October 1st reopening for the restaurant and the catering side of the business and the bar. And so would y'all consider having the Inn on the Square there, right there on court, next to the hotel in the county?
Just like in the old days.
Yeah, and we said, sure, let's do it. And so we're hoping that the Swinging Medallions are going to draw the biggest crowd of the summer. And
they
we'll
always
celebrate.
Do.
They do. Yeah. We'll celebrate the reopening of the Inn on the Square.
That's going to be pretty awesome. I know a lot of people are really excited about it. And as far as an economic impact to Uptown Greenwood, having the Inn on the Square right there, what's that going to mean?
You know, there is no full-service hotel in Greenwood. We have no hotel that has food on site. And so, particularly for the business community, you know, if you're traveling in out of town, many of those folks want that that experience where they don't have to leave, or if they do, that they can walk to a venue. So we think that it will only help our hospitality numbers even greater in the Uptown area.
Yeah. So that's but just having a place where, for example, the Blues Cruise, where they can be right there. And yeah. I know Gary always enjoyed being able to walk in and take a nap and come back out. Yeah. And be up there is really going to make a difference.
It will. Yeah, sure will.
So we've got the Inn on the Square, October 1st, the first floor, and then any idea how they are
Still working. You know, all new paint, all new carpets, all new furnishings, all new lighting, the restrooms, all new toiletries, sinks. And so all of that is being coordinated. Walked through yesterday, and I would say they're a good month to 2 months before they could rent a room. So we'll see, but you can, you know, they reserved the old phone number, 864-330-1010, I believe, is the old Inn on the Square number. They were able to get it back, and it's innonthesquare.net, and they're also already up on Facebook. So I think Claire is handling all of their events, so you can call Claire. And they're booking for the Christmas and everything else.
So it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Okay, it's going to happen. You heard it right here on WCRS. I think that is so exciting. But you also have the textile building. It's coming along. How's that doing?
Yeah, local developer Tim Burke is redeveloping the textile building. Recall that back in the day, the textile building was there with JCPenney's before it relocated to the mall, and over the years I think a number of industries have used that. I think Pirelli, when it was here, Capsagel, I think had some executive offices in the textile building. But for the last, I would say, 5 to 10 years, the textile building has been predominantly vacant. So 45,000 square feet of unused, untaxed, just sitting there.
Spoken like a true city manager.
Yeah.
Untaxed. Sorry, Charlie, I had to put that in there.
Well,
okay,
again, we need every bit of every square foot of that 45,000 square feet paying, you know, right. So we all need to be sharing into the services. But so over the next month, Mr. Burke's hopeful that he can get his retail tenants. There'll be three retail shops there on the bottom. I don't think it's a secret that two of our existing merchants in the Uptown area are going to be relocating. Sugar will be moving to the bottom of the textile building along with Frilly Frog. So, you know, they'll be right there next to the Mermaid Topiary and all that traffic, foot traffic, and we're excited for that. You know, Mr. Burke is continuing to develop up the floors, the individual floors of the textile building for a number of condominium-style lofts. So this will be, this will add to our small mix of condominium downtown living, uptown living, and so that's good. We have a lot of young professionals, retirees that are looking for downtown lofts, and we simply don't have them. So putting this on the market, if it goes well, I think you'll see others follow.
Now, any type of time frame on building the condos?
Yeah, so I think he's trying to get the commercial done. And like I said, you'll probably see, hopefully, those tenants moving in here in the next month or so.
Just in time for the holiday season?
Just in time for the shopping season, that's right. And I think once he gets that done, then the total focus will be to begin. But I don't think he has numbers yet. He really hasn't finished one condominium or shelled it out to know what the true cost is going to be so that he'll know his selling point.
But how many floors are there?
I believe, Ann, that there's 4 or 5 floors. I think I had been told he was going to hold the top floor to see what worked out. But right. We'll see.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, that's another good plus right there. And, of course, it certainly is looking good right around. What do you think? Do you think, I remember you and I sitting down and talking about the advantage of the streetscaping right in that area. What have
yeah,
you seen?
And it boils down to you have to make a decision whether or not to invest in yourself. And so, some were critical of the decision, but City Council agreed along with a community development block grant 2 summers ago and into last year to invest about $1.5 million in Oak Avenue and there the Main Street section that goes in front of McDonald Patrick and Elliott Davis and next to Howard's. And we constructed the water feature there and added the swings. Talking to Tim Burke and folks like that, I think Tim would say that played a large role in his tipping point decision to take the risk to buy the textile building and do the renovation. So it's a chicken and egg approach. You can sit back and do nothing and hope that it comes, or you can take the risk and do something. And so far, knock on wood, we're seeing those private dollars, private investment following the public investment.
Well, you're getting ready to undertake another project over there on, Magnolia and Riley?
Yeah, so this will be the 13th project of the City Center Master Plan over the last, I think we're now 12 years of the City Center Master Plan. But this will be the first of the project on the eastern side of the square. So Riley and Magnolia, there near Buffalo Grill and County Bank. Many will know that the former Bank of America location building there has been vacant now for a number of years. And so we've got a few other vacancies in that area that we would like to see occupied. So with that same formula that we used on Oak Avenue 2 summers ago, we're going to hopefully put in new street trees and new sidewalks and new pedestrian level lighting, make it look brand new, put in all new underground utilities for the future. And hopefully private dollars will follow that investment.
Now, I understand it also goes down as far as Magnolia Park.
Yeah, we would love to really tie in Magnolia Park. Magnolia Park, in my opinion, is woefully underutilized. It's got brand new restroom facilities. We're going to try to put some lighting and street trees to tie that in to the uptown area and hopefully be able to use it as an improved green space.
So that's going to be really, really nice. Do you have any idea, is the uptown post office staying? Do you know?
I was in a conversation about that yesterday. I have heard no updates about the post office. I do, from time to time, get complaints because I think they have varying hours. I think they've put up much shorter hours.
They have.
It's a tough business model.
Right.
Things will change in the future, you have to believe, with the post office. We now use email. Somebody asked me when the last time I had written a handwritten note, and I thankfully had just done one, but we don't do that anymore. We write emails, and so the business model of the post office is going away.
Sure. Well, of course, and they've got their main post office now out behind the mall there,
sure.
So it's kind of shifted.
That's right.
So, all right. Well, when we come back, we're going to be talking about some other things going on. They've got some other master plans, and we got to get an update on what is happening with the water park, the farmers market. We'll be talking about that. And I want to get into, Charlie, I want to talk about the accommodations tax, the hospitality tax, how we spend these dollars. So when we come back, we'll be talking about it. Don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafé Cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafé mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. Charlie Barrino, I tell you what, how do you keep all these balls in the air, Charlie? There's a lot going on.
There is. You know, again, I go back to just an excellent staff. And really, you know, I think we've got a fairly good working relationship with city council. I think our city council is a reflective mix of our community. And they do a great job. People do not know how hard it is to be an elected official. If you've never done it, you know, don't be so critical. You don't realize all the meetings and phone calls and things that they have to be engaged in. So our city council really does a good job.
And I think whether it's city council, county council, you're making decisions with other people's money.
You are.
That's,
well,
yeah, that's the toughie. You're not making it with your money. You're making it with other people's money.
Sure, but, you know, hopefully, they are elected by the people.
Right.
They are citizens of this city. They own property in this city. And
sure.
So hopefully they're making decisions, and I believe they are making decisions on the whole of the community moving forward. So we try every day to look at the dollars that we're spending as an investment into our future.
Oh, sure. But it's still tough.
It is.
And you
it
have
is.
A lot of different opinions on how to do things.
Nobody, even I, none of us want to pay taxes. I mean, we all want, you know, but as a part of a civilized society, we have to do some of these things.
Sure. And, of course, one of the big things that has been working very well, in fact, today was Wednesday, was the farmer's market.
That's right. Yep. The market was our fall market from 10 to 2 down there behind Kickers. Drove by, and we had a good crowd, great crowd.
So, and then, of course, you just go across from the mill house there, and things are really happening there.
They are, and I think over the next 2-3 weeks there, you're going to see a whole lot more construction. We are getting close to the work starting up on the interactive water feature. It'll go right in front of the restroom building that has the brick work on the outside. The pillars and the iron for the uptown market structure itself are going in. We're beginning to look at the roof and things like that. So, and making sure that our roof, our hip roof, lines up with the Velux skylights that we'll be installing, and just a lot of fun stuff.
Now, what is the ultimate purpose of that, of the uptown market there? What's the ultimate purpose now?
Well, just like, you know, no different, I guess, than the art center, the theater, or the library, you look to find anchors in your downtown. And so you're wanting an anchor that will drive people, pedestrian traffic, bring people, events. In addition to a farmer's market, you hope that you will maybe have a rotary cook, oyster roast, or weddings or other events that then people will spend money in your businesses in your downtown.
Sure. And now, how are we coming along for it being operational?
Yeah, we're behind a number of weeks. You know, I've said all along that look for spring 2016 to be fully functional, which is, you know, obviously I don't think there's going to be too many people that'll want to be in an interactive water feature in 40 degree weather.
We have 40 degree weather.
Yeah, come March, April, we should be done. We had originally targeted to be done in the November to December, but it's going to go into 2016.
Okay. And didn't I hear something about a four-way stop or something?
Yeah,
that is
so,
going to be going in?
You know, we've seen traffic increase there at Maxwell and Edgefield, and so the state committed that they would study that area, and they are ready to put in a four-way stop there. We've gone to the adjoining businesses. They all understand the need. And so I would say over the next 30 to 60 days that the four-way stop will be installed. Likely here in the coming weeks, you will see the signage go up that says four-way stop coming soon to prepare everyone. And then you'll see the new signs go in and the orange and yellow flags warning you that stop sign is ahead. So
sure.
It'll be an adjustment for all, but it's an important needed thing.
Now, when this is operational, is this where you'll have the Uptown Live concerts, or is it still going to be on Oregon?
We have planned to be able to have concerts there. A lot of folks, I still get the question, you know, why did you relocate it to Oregon Avenue? And to be honest, the biggest reason that we moved it was safety, just trying to be able to shut down traffic. The Main Street area works from everybody sees it.
Absolutely.
And you don't see Oregon as well, but the Oregon Avenue environment is safer. We have designed the Uptown Market with a somewhat of a grass knoll that overlooks the site, where you could put a band up on the knoll, shut off the water, and people could sit there and use the interactive water feature in the patio around it. We hope the trigger doesn't come on for the water, but
could be a cooling factor.
Could be a cooling factor.
There you go.
But yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
So you don't know whether you'll be moving it from Oregon over there, or
we have designed it to be able to do that.
A question whether you will.
Yeah, you really, until something is built, you know, seeing it in a computer model and on paper, and until you really feel it and smell it, and you just can't get a feel for it. The train, it'll be even closer. I mean, we're on top of the train now. You got 30 trains going through, but shouldn't be that big of a deal. But we'll see. We'll see.
Okay. All right. And it looks like the museum is getting ready to unveil in October one of the cars, cars.
Yeah, the executive car. We have partnered along with a number of private individuals, including, I think, the Stockman family, Sell Family Foundation. The Heritage Corridor has been instrumental in investing in the railroad cars, the seven historic cars there. If you haven't been by, they tried to find the original photos of those cars and go back to the original paint schemes. So it's exciting to see that going forward. A lot has been taking place. They had to remove the asbestos, the lead paint, and then go back with a coating that hopefully will last a number of decades.
You know, that's going to expand Uptown Greenwood's reach, isn't it?
That, again, was the goal. And we really wanted to move that south and into South Greenwood. Long term, the Edgefield South Main Master Plan shows a connection, the Carolina Avenue connection, connecting into the Genetic Center, Clemson University Research Campus. And so long term, we hope that we'll get there.
Yeah, I think it's fabulous. They've been doing a great job on that. But now, one of the things that I want to talk about after we come back is all this extra money, the accommodation tax, the hospitality tax. How do we spend this money? So I'm putting Charlie on the hot seat. He says he can explain it, I think. We'll come back. Don't you go away.
Does this make sense? We buy your gold, diamonds, jewelry, coins, sterling silver at the highest prices, paying extra for fine jewelry and quality, and we're always buying your diamonds and colored stones too. But we sell at the lowest prices, from diamonds to gemstone jewelry to sterling silver pieces and antique and estate jewelry. Always lowest prices for quality jewelry. See us today, Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. We're going to talk about the hospitality tax, the accommodation tax. You know, it's we read in the paper what the money's spent for, and I think a lot of us sometimes have questions about that. But first, I want to talk about the Veterans Center
Plaza,
right up there. You know, I don't know if y'all know this, but the county and the city have come together, and they are going to be building the Big Eagle out front, and it's really going to be impressive. It's really going to change the Veterans Center there, isn't it?
Sure. So the veterans have done a great job of relocating to the former library building there on Main Street. And so the city and the county are working together jointly. County Council approved splitting the cost with the city to hire Davis and Floyd to help do the engineering and design work for the Veterans Plaza that will include the Eagle that you just mentioned.
And all the pavers that...
That's right.
This is a huge project.
Yeah, they have been selling pavers with names and and I think benches and other stone features that will go into this plaza design. But if
you're doing an engineering study, because
So if you've been in the uptown, today you'll see a survey crew right there in front of the Veterans Center, and that's what they're doing. You know, anytime you build something, you're going to have challenges. When rain hits any of those pavers or anything, it's going to run off. Well, you've got to make sure that you've got a storm drain box to catch that runoff. So we're looking at things like that. We're making sure that the base, the foundation that large eagle will be placed on can hold that eagle properly for many, many years to come. You always obviously want to have lighting on the eagle, so you've got to have an electrical design. You'll always obviously want to have grass, and you'll have to have an irrigation design. If you've walked those sidewalks in that area, they are not good. They're in very poor condition, so the sidewalks need to be removed. And we also want to make sure that the plaza is connected into Seaboard Avenue. And if you've walked there to the intersection at Seaboard and Wells Fargo Bank, it is in very poor condition.
It is, yes.
So we'll be adding pedestrian countdown box there and some other features. So, again, it's just building on the momentum and taking a great project and connecting it into what we're doing uptown.
Well, I think, the Veterans Center certainly is going to be a showpiece. People, there's not a place like it in the whole state of South Carolina. So we are very blessed to have such a beautiful facility.
Check out, you can see they put their hours out, I think, on the lawn when they put their stick sign up when the museum is open. It is impressive. The historic guns that they have in
the museum.
Incredible. I know I took my boys in there, and we really had a good time checking everything
out. And, they'll be more than willing to explain any answer any questions. So it really is. And, of course, I do want to mention, coming up this Sunday, it is the Hall of Heroes. That'll be going on at 3 o'clock over there at Lander University. If you can be there, it's really an awe-inspiring experience to be there. Take an hour, hour and a half from your Sunday and go to that 3 o'clock. Be worth your while. But now let's talk about this accommodations tax, hospitality tax. We see where the dollars go. We wonder how you make the decisions to do all this,
sure.
Charlie.
Accommodation tax is the hotel tax. So anytime you stay in a hotel in South Carolina, you're paying an accommodation tax. At the state level, the accommodation tax is 2%. At the local level, it's optional, but it has been adopted by the city and county council here, is 3%. So you're paying a total accommodation tax of 5%. Those two pennies, that 2%, goes to the state, and then they remit that back based on a formula to the cities and counties to be dispersed for tourism-related projects.
And it's not necessarily exactly what you've put into it. Am I understanding? Meaning that...
Right. We get more than we put in. So more than the two pennies that's collected here in Greenwood, we likely get a percentage of Charleston and Greenville, and they disperse it based on a formula, and I don't know if it's based on population or things like that.
Yeah. Okay. But, we do so both. That's the 2%.
Right. And then the 3% accommodation tax stays here in Greenwood, and the city and county councils have agreed to use that to fund the Greenwood Regional Tourism and Visitors Bureau. So that helps to pay for TV commercials, web, social media campaigns, the staff that obviously run that. We have golf campaigns, Golf Greenwood. It pays for those type projects, a lot of our marketing materials.
Okay. So that takes care of roughly 5% there. But then we've got the hospitality
That's
tax.
Right. And so the local hospitality tax is the 2% tax on prepared food and beverage in the city and the county. Most recently, the county, starting this year, adopted the hospitality tax. And so on behalf of the county, the city is collecting that. So anywhere in the Greenwood, you should be paying an additional 2 pennies for every dollar on prepared food and beverage. That money, again, can only be spent on tourism or visitor-related projects.
Well, how do you determine this?
Yeah, and there's a law.
There's a law. Yeah, isn't that amazing?
The code references a number of different projects, and so... it is, voted on by the city council. I mean, you take projects to them. And so over the years, a lot of what we've done in the uptown area has been supported by the hospitality tax. The Jeff May Complex construction, the city council partnered with Lander University and contributed money to that. A portion of the library was paid with hospitality tax to create the meeting space so that we could bring meetings into the library area. So, and the biggest project to date has been the Uptown Market. And so with the goal, hopefully, that the interactive order feature in the market will be a regional draw to bring people into the community, that project has been paid by hospitality.
Now, how do you, then we've got the Art Center gets money, the museum, the theater, and some others. Where does that money come from?
So the most recent vote, well, the vote hasn't taken place yet. The most recent discussion was the accommodation tax, where the museum, theater, Greenwood Performing Arts, and others came and requested accommodation taxes. So that's the 2 pennies on the hotel tax. And they're, in essence, asking for an annual grant. City Council will vote on that this coming Monday night at their meeting. And it's what we call our annual accommodation tax appropriation.
So do you, how do people get the money, and how do you make the decision to give this money? And is there any proof that has to come back that it worked?
Sure, that's right. Yes, 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 yes.
Okay.
So we have an application that those entities are required to submit. We have an application period. We advertise that we're soliciting for these dollars. We put it on our website. And then they submit, and then we require that they come and give an oral presentation to both an accommodation tax advisory committee, which is made up of hoteliers, restaurateurs, and community advisors. We have 7 members on that board, and City Council. So City Council will receive a recommendation of the accommodation tax advisory committee as to their opinion on how best to spend these dollars based on the applications that we received. Now, each year, each of those entities has to submit to us how they spent the money. We have to see basically a spreadsheet of how they spent the money. We also get a copy of their audit. Most of that material then is sent on to the state. The state has a committee. The state has a accommodation tax advisory committee statewide, and so they review all of these expenses.
And so when you have put money out, you have seen it increase traffic?
Each of the venues, the theater and the museum and the federal building, for example, they track. If you've ever gone to any of those venues, they, particularly with the theater, with their use of Vendini, they know the zip code that you're coming from. They track their ticket sales. They track people that come in the door. They want you to sign in where you're coming from. And they're using those numbers on an annual basis to compare. And we have seen traffic volumes increase.
Now, just out of curiosity, is that something that can only be used for Uptown?
No. Again, we mentioned that Greenwood Performing Arts mm-hmm. receives those dollars, and those get spent at Lander. Over the years, we've had differing groups apply for those. We've had entities that have held events at the Little River Conference Center. Yeah, mm-hmm. that have been funded. Funding has been provided from accommodation and hospitality for the Dr. Benjamin May site. There's varying things. Lander has come forward, but again, it's got to be something that draws visitors in. It can't be a neighborhood playground or a neighborhood street, or it's got to be things that draw people in.
Okay, because I think but the hospitality tax, now that's the accommodation, so that's where theater and the mm-hmm. art center and everything get theirs. Now right. The hospitality.
Sure. Now hospitality also has the ability to use operation money. You can utilize, based on the state law, you can utilize up to 50% of the collections on operations. And so we do give operation grants to the theater, museum, art center. Dr. May's site gets some to provide operation money. The topiaries, for example, all of the topiaries and their expenses, Ann's expenses, Ann's horticultural budget, is paid for out of the operation portion of the hospitality tax budget. We knew that the topiaries, to keep them, to sustain them as pristine as we wanted them to be, that we had to take it to the next level. So the hospitality tax covered the cost of the construction of the greenhouse and now covers for the staffing and maintenance of those topiaries.
Now, just out of curiosity, since they're going to move the Festival of Flowers to first part of June, and then, of course, we don't have the Festival of Discovery till July, will you still be able to keep the topiaries?
Yeah, I would say that they would still be out 60 days. I mean, that's been our target, to have them out, you know, 2 months would be a good push.
So you still plan to have them there for I was just thinking that because that had changed up a little, did that make any difference?
No, I think it just gives us a little, it gives more separation between the two events. It gives us a little breathing room. And I don't know if it's just the weather trends, but it has tended in the last few years to be hotter during the Festival of Flowers than it is the Festival of Discovery. So this past year particularly, it was hot during the Festival of Flowers main weekend. So
absolutely.
We'll see.
All right. Well, is there anything else you'd like to tell us here today?
No, just a lot going on. Get involved. You know, check out the City of Greenwood website, cityofgreenwoodsc.com. The city has a Facebook page. We have a Twitter account. We'd love to interact with you. Ask questions. We get great questions. We want people to ask us questions, and we want to provide answers and be transparent. It helps the community move forward much better.
Absolutely. Well, I know that it's going to be exciting going into the fall, just getting the Inn on the Square open on the, at least on the first level. Be October 1st is the kickoff date for that. That's going to be exciting, seeing the changes over there by the on Magnolia, by the post office and everything. That'll be exciting. So just I guess we should say keep up the good work. And don't forget the bypass,
That's
Charlie.
That's right. Don't forget the bypass.
This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. It wouldn't be me if I didn't say something, would it, Charlie? All right. That's going to do it for us. This is WCRS. Thanks so much for coming out,
Thank
Charlie.
You,
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.